Coming up on the Assassins podcast, we've got Troy Vossler, co-founder of the Generator Accelerator and also the co-founder of Scani Nation, jumping on the show to talk about his experience founding a startup accelerator, the similarities and differences of being an entrepreneur and an investor. Troy talks about the story behind Scani Nation and how Troy established a meaningful and lasting brand in the state of Wisconsin. And then lastly, we talk about the business of selling his own brand of beer, how he thinks about category expansion. If you're about the Wisconsin life, you like beer, brats, and cheese, this is your episode, I'm telling you, on Wisconsin. All right, without further ado, Assassins, let's get into the show. Giddy up. See them dollar signs. Hustle. Grind. Assassin's state of mind. Hustle, grind. See them dollar signs. Assassin's state of mind. Assassin's state of mind. Hustle, grind. See them dollar signs way above the bottom line. Assassin's state of mind. Hustle, grind. See them dollar signs. Assassin's state of mind. Assassin's state of mind. Hustle, grind. See them dollar signs way above the bottom line. Assassin's state of mind. They say money over everything. What is going on, everybody? Happy Friday. It's your host, Justin Vandehey, here at the Assassins Podcast. For every week, we have incredible founders on, talking about their journeys going from zero to one. This week on the podcast, we've got a good friend of mine, serial entrepreneur. He's an investor, a hustler. He's a Scani for life. Troy Vossler, co-founder of Generator. Scani Nation, Scani Beer, all the Scani-related merch possible. Welcome to the Assassins Podcast, my friend.
Thank you, Justin. That's a great intro.
So we've known each other through mutual circles quite a while, UW grads, but would love maybe if you wanted to share a little bit about your background, what Generator's all about, and what led you to start it, and we can kind of go from there.
Yeah, definitely. So, gosh, the Generator story really starts in kind of what I would call like the most low-tech fashion you can imagine. So you mentioned Scani Nation. You know, that was really my first entrepreneurial endeavor, which was a t-shirt company. So I started as a freshman in college. When I arrived in the dorms, I ended up meeting another guy kind of on the same dorm floor, and we hit it off and said, like, hey, let's start a business together. And we would constantly brainstorm different ideas. And one night we came up with this idea for Scani. It was a noun to refer to a person from Wisconsin or anything Wisconsin-esque, and said, like, hey, I think we could create a brand around that. So we each chipped in $300 of our own savings. We printed 100 t-shirts, and we literally sold them out of our dorm room and sold out in about a week. And at that point, you kind of realized that we were onto something. And just from that point forward, just constantly reinvested the profits and just had a really good run doing it. So that company grew throughout my time in college, to the point where today I continue to own the brand, the trademark, license it for kind of these different businesses. You mentioned the beer, there's a bar, the t-shirt and apparel line keeps going. So that's been a lot of fun, but that was really kind of my first step in this entrepreneurial journey. And it's kind of one of these things that opened a lot of doors and thinking about what else can happen in the entrepreneurial realm. Fast forward, I ended up going to law school at University of Wisconsin. When I graduated, I was fortunate to be employed by a program called the Law and Entrepreneurship Clinic. So this is a program where law students would provide free legal services to startups, entrepreneurs, small business owners, you name it. And through that, I ended up meeting my now Generator business partner, Joe Kurgis. So Joe, my Generator partner, he was also an attorney. And we met working on some of these mutual transactions together. So both on the startup and the investor side, and just realized that there lacked a lot of efficiency for an entrepreneur to go from an idea to incorporation, to growth, to raising venture capital. And we just thought it could all be made much, much more efficient. And in parallel with that, we had been admirers of what became known as the accelerator model. So really starting with Y Combinator and Paul Graham. And so we quit our jobs, and we were fortunate to find a group of angel investors. This is 10 years ago, so 2012. And that's when we started Generator. So we've been doing it ever since.
what is Generator's model? Like, how do you all think about sort of how Generator differentiates itself from other incubators or accelerators?
Yeah, a couple ways. So the core of what we do is, I call it a traditional accelerator model. We started 10 years ago in both Madison and Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Today, we operate some form of accelerator in 41 cities across 20 states and two countries. So we're in both the United States and Luxembourg. And Luxembourg is our European base. So we invest in startups across Europe as well. For that program, it's a 3-month long program. We invest $100K into each startup. I'd say the biggest differentiator we have in that model is what we call our concierge approach. So we only work with 5 to 6 startups at a time. So we have really small cohort sizes. And for us, that was kind of a deliberate design decision when we started, because we were in an underserved ecosystem. We started in Wisconsin, not close to Silicon Valley. And we knew even if we had 10 great startups at a batch, like, we just couldn't reasonably expect them to raise follow-on funding from the local ecosystem. And therefore, we'd be doing no one a good favor. So we made this deliberate decision to just work with 5 to 6 at a time. And we've maintained that. And I think that's been a unique differentiator, just kind of the one-on-one attention and kind of advising and mentorship that we provide those startups during the 3-month-long program. So that's the core. That's kind of the nucleus. That's what Generator's most known for. In addition, we do some free accelerator programs. Free meaning we're not investing cash. We don't take any equity. And those programs tend to be exclusively locally focused. So kind of real top of the funnel, very early stage entrepreneurs, even at that ideation stage. Oftentimes we partner with universities or tech transfer offices or corporations, even state or city governments to put on those programs. We call that G-Beta. Think of it as like Generator Beta. And then the other stuff is kind of the more exotic. So we do a lot of work with corporations around corporate venture capital and corporate innovation. So we have a group called the Generator Corporate Innovation Network. We do a conference series called OnRamp. So the OnRamp conferences are designed to connect corporations, startups, and VCs in those specific industry verticals. We do a skills accelerator. So we partner with Microsoft and LinkedIn. Think of this as like a workforce development program for job seekers. So they learn new digital skills, and then we help pair them with employers on the back end. And then last but not least, I'd say the most adjacent thing that we do, but I think one of the coolest, is art and music accelerators. So the idea being, how can we adapt the accelerator model, which in my opinion has worked really successfully for kind of your traditional tech entrepreneur? How do we adapt that for a different type of entrepreneur, in this case, artists and musicians? So we call that Generator Art, Generator Music. And again, I think it's just been one of the coolest things that we've done.
I love that. Yeah, I just caught up with a buddy of mine who's is the CEO of a company called Film Hub that is helping with the licensing and distribution for film creators. So basically, like, helping independent film creators get their stuff out there. And I think there's just so much disruption happening in and around sports, media, entertainment. Pretty cool to see that. I saw that in the brand. And also, the concept of the skills matching, I spend a lot of time now in sort of the human capital management skills space. And so it's awesome to see that y'all are investing in that, and also, yeah, just helping connect people with great opportunities, both, I'm sure, inside and outside of the portfolio. So that's really, really cool.
It kind of harks back to our mission. Our mission is to be the best partner for a community to invest in the best and brightest. So we started with your traditional startup accelerators. That's expanded into the skills space and the art and music. And at the end of the day, community is at the core of what we do. We're really proud to be working. Primarily, we focus on the secondary and emerging markets. So we're in Omaha, Nebraska, Cincinnati, Ohio, Huntsville, Alabama, Las Vegas, Nevada, places that, you know, aren't traditionally associated with tech or innovation. And by tying all these markets together, we think that there's a really compelling play to say, like, our core belief is that talent is evenly distributed, but opportunity is not, in particular opportunity defined by access to venture capital.
So I've been a fan of the Scotty brand, just near and dear to my heart, having gone through UW. I've tasted the product. I've really admired what y'all have built. And I think it's fascinating as I look at Scotty and just how you've expanded into so many different categories. You know, you mentioned physical retail, bar location, your own brand of beer. I'd love to hear from you just like how you made the decision in various stages of the journey to expand the brand into other categories? Like, what was the evaluation and sort of the thought process that went into saying like, hey, we're going to extend this into a new category? What was the right timing for that? And what sort of led to that decision?
So it very much started with t-shirts. And so kind of going back to that Genesis story, part of the inception of the brand was, you know, I think Wisconsin uniquely has a lot of state pride in a way that many other states don't have state pride. Like, I'll give an example. I don't think there's Illinois pride. I do think there's Chicago pride,
yeah,
but I don't think there's Illinois pride. Whereas in Wisconsin, I think there's like very much at the state level, state pride. And see it embodied then through these symbols, like a foam cheesehead, right? At a Packers game.
Yeah.
But how could there be like a more fashion forward or socially acceptable way to like represent that pride? And so that was our idea behind Scotty and making the whole clothing brand behind it. So when we started, we were literally selling t-shirts, or eventually hats, hoodies, sweatshirts, you name it, out of our dorm room. We eventually started selling wholesale to like the university bookstore or other stores on campus. We eventually partnered with our screen printer, Underground Printing, and opened our own store on State Street, which we continue to have. So that became a physical retail hub. In addition, this whole time selling online, so selling on our Scotty.com website. So that was really the company's history for its first, when did we start? We started the spring of 2004. That was the company's history for 10 years, basically. And then the next foray became the beer. And the little backstory there is that there was another brewery in Western Wisconsin that had actually owned the trademark Scotty for beer. And so how trademark law works is it's specific to the category of goods and services. And so we had domain in apparel and clothing. They had domain in beer. And we had known about each other. Years later, they ended up going out of business and he kind of offered us for pennies on the dollar, kind of this already registered trademark for beer. And so it became a bit of a pet project for me and my dad, and said like, well, how would we get a beer off the ground? And we would just contact different breweries throughout the state and just kind of learn about everything from the legal process to the business side of it. And fast forward to today, we licensed the brand to a Wisconsin Dells Brewing Company. They operate the Moose Jaw Brewery in Wisconsin Dells. And we have at any given time, at least four different varietals. So our Scotty Ale, our Scotty Hazy Hop, our Scotty Smash, which is a cranberry cherry ale. So just a lot of fun times that we get to do with that. The last piece of the puzzle then is the bar. So, you know, as we had a lot of brand recognition and hopefully seen as kind of part of the culture, we were by a group of bar owner operators that wanted to kind of redesign a concept for a bar on campus in Madison. And so again, they ended up licensing the brand to them. So I don't own a bar, I don't own a brewery, but I do own the brand and have some input and say in that regard. But all those things from a brand strategy, it was always, Scotty was always about this kind of beer, brats and cheese, like these very Wisconsin-esque things. And so both the bar and the beer very much fit in with that. But we don't have a cheese yet. We don't have a brat yet. Maybe that's next.
Oh man, I got a quick story. I had a pitch meeting with the executives at Johnsonville when I was selling Disco. And I think I dropped a double barrel reference. And I think everybody at the table almost fell out of their seats. They were not expecting like a Midwesterner to talk about stacking two brats in a bun. I think it just blew everyone's mind at that point. Dude. Also, I just want to add, I think you're living out my dream, which is being able to retain that Wisconsin pride through beer, cheese, and brats for as long as possible. So there's so much envy for what you've built and where you've taken the brand.
I appreciate it. It's a lot of fun, to the point where 100% of my time spent on Generator. I'm fortunate that I still get to have this kind of auxiliary revenue stream or income stream. But there's, don't get me wrong, like there's times I daydream about, wouldn't it be fun to kind of like go back and like really get my hands dirty in all things related to the brand and the marketing of it? And it's a bit of a trade-off, but that was some of the most formative like business experiences I've had. I tell even the tech entrepreneurs I work with today, I tell them I learned so much by street vending, like literally having a booth outside of Camp Randall Football Stadium on Badger Football Saturdays and like hawking t-shirts, like just what you learn about, you know, human behavior, behavior economics, like how to sell. I think there's so many raw learnings from that. And it's helped me throughout my career.
I know we're coming to the top of the time. I think you might've mentioned this in the earlier part, but you're in Omaha, right? You're actually in what is the outlook look like for the weekend? What do you think the outcome is going to be? Just curious to get your take on Omaha, having spent a little time there.
So I live in Milwaukee. I should point out, I live full-time in Milwaukee now. I'm no longer in Madison. I'm visiting Omaha for two reasons. One, the Badgers are playing the Cornhuskers tomorrow. So I'm going to my first game in Lincoln ever. So I'm really excited for that. And then also we run a program. It's called EnMotion. So we merged with another accelerator down here in Nebraska. So we operate programs in both Omaha and Lincoln. So I'm in Omaha right now. I'm sitting in our office here. And it's really cool. We're in a historic building in downtown Omaha that's been refurbished, and they're really making it a startup hub and kind of more creative industries and whatnot. We're in session right now. So we actually have seven entrepreneurs sitting around the office that are working on their respective startups. And again, I think it really speaks to this kind of not only Midwest focus, but like secondary market focus that has been really successful for us.
I was back. For homecoming this last week with a bunch of my buddies, and I'll tell you what, I'm out of shape. I'm not gonna lie, it was pretty brutal. Most of the dads
you need more stamina, huh?
Yeah, they were in bed by 9 p.m. and one of us might have fallen asleep at brats at about 8 o'clock. So it was one of those weekends. But anyway, just as we wrap it up, what's next for Generator, and is there anything else that you wanted to plug?
We're really excited to keep growing. I think there's a lot of opportunity internationally. So when we think about like the delta between Silicon Valley and kind of the rest of the United States, I think it's kind of a similar delta between the United States and the rest of the world as it relates to startups and venture capital. And so we're having a lot of great conversations in all parts of the world about how could we potentially expand to new markets. And that's something that really excites us. And frankly, we're seeing great quality in our last batch in Europe. We had companies from across Europe and just really above average from my expectations. And I think that's something we want to keep pressing on. So stay tuned.
Awesome. Well, again, appreciate you jumping on. I know you've been traveling all over, and again, congratulations on all the success around Generator.
Thanks, Johnny.
Excited to see where you take the program next, and all the best here this weekend. Good luck in Omaha this weekend.
Thank you. Yeah. Go Badgers. Hopefully they pull it off.
All right, on Wisconsin, man. All right, that is a wrap. Again, want to give a big shout out to Troy Vossler, the team at Generator, everyone in Scotty Nation. Always love catching up with Troy. We got a big week coming up on the Assassins podcast. A good friend of mine is coming on next Friday, dating back to our time slang in social software at Gigya. He's a serial entrepreneur. He's done it twice now. Going to be talking about the future of robotics and automation. It's a really interesting episode on where that industry is going. I also had some love from Entrepreneur come up this week. Article I wrote on the time I tried to broker a deal with Jeff Bezos to help out my hometown. I posted that on the Assassin site, so check that out. Again, I appreciate everybody tuning in. If you ever want to exchange ideas for the podcast, shoot me a note, justin@assassins.com. Until then, keep hustling, keep grinding, and keep getting that money. See them dollar signs, hustle, grind. Assassins state of mind, hustle, grind. See them dollar signs, assassin state of mind, assassin state of mind, hustle, grind. See them dollar signs way above the bottom line, assassin state of mind, hustle, grind. See them dollar signs, assassin state of mind, hustle, grind. See them dollar signs way above the bottom line, assassin state of mind. They say money over everything, everything, gauge in the game. Shopping for a wedding ring, salary, startups, crypto, stock exchange. Appreciate every penny, pocket change. One phone call and your life can change. What's your love language? Can't do